Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. After addressing some of the arguments that are advanced by the traditional church doctrine, suggesting that we should eat pork as believers in Messiah, I began to explain last week why I believe it's just the opposite, that we as believers in Messiah should not eat pork, lobsters, shrimp, other kinds of food that are described in the scriptures as unclean. To reiterate, I said that in what is called the Sermon on the Mount, Yeshua our Messiah, or Jesus if you prefer, said very clearly, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For as surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law, the Torah, until all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments referring to the commandments of the Torah or the law, and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." That's Matthew chapter 5. Verses 17 to 19, spoken by the Lord himself. But first, please understand the sentence, "I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill," contains a Hebrew idiom. Not an idiot, but an idiom, meaning the words have a different connotation as a whole than the individual words would seem to convey. So to destroy the law means to misinterpret it. To fulfill the law means to correctly interpret it. In essence, Yeshua was telling the disciples that they had been taught wrong by the rabbis and other Jewish leaders. In other words, they had tried to teach the people that the law was a way of salvation. It was never, ever a way of salvation. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 15, which says, "And Abraham believed God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness." And then, of course, in Habakkuk, it says, "The just shall live by faith." Galatians chapter 3 explains us that the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai 430 years later could not annul the covenant by God that said salvation was by faith, because God doesn't change. He doesn't change his mind. So Yeshua was telling the disciples they had been taught wrong by the rabbis and other Jewish leaders, and he was going to correct their understanding of Scripture. And he says quite clearly that till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the Torah till all is fulfilled. So the two phrases, till heaven and earth pass away and till all is fulfilled, are Hebrew parallelism, meaning they mean the very same thing. They're just two different ways of saying the same thing. All prophecy is fulfilled when we reach the end of the book of Revelation at the new heavens and the new earth. Till we get there, not a single letter or mark will pass from the law, the Torah. So have heaven and earth passed away? Certainly not. If you don't believe that, just stand up for a minute and jump up and down, and you'll see that the earth is still here. So according to Messiah, not the smallest letter, which is in Hebrew a yod, which looks like an apostrophe in English, or the smallest piece of a letter that distinguishes one Hebrew letter from another, has passed away from the commandments of God in the Scriptures, what the New Testament refers to as the law, or what the Hebrew calls the Torah. Understanding that Torah does not mean law, it means instruction. It comes from the verb to teach. So these are words of prophecy when Messiah spoke this. And Deuteronomy 18 tells us that if any word of a prophet fails to come to pass, then the prophet is not from God. He's a false prophet. So if Yeshua said not the smallest letter or piece of letter would pass away as long as heaven and earth are still here, and he did because we just read it, then if whole commandments were annulled, his prophecy is not true. And if his prophecy fails, then he would be a false prophet. And God forbid, we know that Messiah was not a false prophet. He truly was the only begotten Son of God. As John chapter 1 verse 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14 of John 1 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt or tabernacled amongst us. Rather, it is as Peter told us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. He said, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things being the return of the Lord to establish the Messianic kingdom and judgment day in which we're all going to be judged. He says, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Meaning the reason the Lord has not returned yet is he's wanting more and more people to be saved. Scripture goes on, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, is written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, that is of the second coming of Messiah, are catching away to be with him. Goes on to say, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they also do the rest of the scriptures. So Peter is saying that it is easy to misunderstand Paul's writings if you do not have a firm grasp on the scriptures. But how can I be sure that Paul has been misunderstood in the traditional church today? Well, what I do, I look at Bible prophecy, knowing that prophecy cannot fail. Every word spoken by a true prophet of God as a word of prophecy will come to pass. Deuteronomy 18 tells us that in no uncertain terms. So not only did Messiah tell us that not a jot or a tittle would pass from the law, the Torah, until heaven and earth pass away, which, by the way, does not happen till the end of Revelation, where we read in Revelation 21:1, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth, had passed away. See, there is a point that heaven and earth passes away, but it's not until Revelation chapter 21, which is at least 1,000 years from the time I'm making this recording. But notice Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, now it shall come to pass in the latter days. But latter days is not well translated. In Hebrew, that phrase is acharit hayamim, and what it means is the end of days. And in a Hebrew published Bible, that's going to be capitalized because it's a term for what you and I call the millennial kingdom or the messianic kingdom. So it shall come to pass in the time when Messiah comes to establish his kingdom, it says, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, shall be exalted above the hills. Understand in Hebrew, mountains and hills, it's the same word as the Hebrew word har. And in prophecy, it refers to a kingdom. So this is telling us that the Lord's kingdom is going to be over the whole earth, over all the other kingdoms of the world, whether they be big kingdoms or small kingdoms. The Lord's kingdom is going to go from shore to shore and pole to pole. Every part of this world will be under jurisdiction of our Messiah Yeshua, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, according to Revelation chapter 19. But it continues to say in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, that many people or multitudes shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So Isaiah, who's referred to as a prophet in the New Testament on multiple occasions, even by the Lord himself, says that there's going to come a day that we call the Messianic Kingdom, when Messiah is going to return to this world and establish his kingdom and rule over every kingdom of the world, and multitudes from the nations, from the Gentiles, are going to come up to Jerusalem. We're going to listen to him teach us his ways, and we're going to walk or live in according with his paths. For out of Zion, that is out of prophetic Jerusalem with Messiah on the throne, shall go forth the Torah, the law. So we know the law has not been abolished because the prophet Isaiah says we're going to live in accordance with the Torah during the Messianic kingdom. which is yet future to where we are. So a Messiah returns at the end of the Great Tribulation, or the time of Jacob's trouble, as is called in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. He teaches Torah, the law, from his throne in Zion, which is the prophetic name for Jerusalem when Messiah rules and reigns in the Messianic kingdom. The prophet Micah tells us the very same thing in almost the exact same words. From Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, quote, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days," meaning the end of days, again, that term for the Messianic kingdom, "that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths, for out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.'" And what does the Torah include? It includes all the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God, including don't eat the pigs, the shrimps, the lobsters, and other unclean things, like dogs and mice and camels and things that you and I probably wouldn't want to eat anyway. But as believers in Messiah Yeshua, are we not under the new covenant? Well, yes, we are. But what does the new covenant say? Where do you find the terms of the new covenant? What's it all about? Well, you find it in Jeremiah chapter 31. And it says in Jeremiah chapter 31, in verses 33 to 34, it says, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law, that is my Torah, in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I'll remember no more." So Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34 is the giving of the new covenant. But in verses 33 and 34, it tells us what is in the new covenant, and that is that God will write the Torah upon our hearts, meaning it's going to be our heart's desire, our love for God, that we will do it. What did Messiah say in John 14, 15? He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." What does it say in 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3? It says, "What is the love of God? That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." But notice here in Jeremiah 31, 33 to 34, the Lord will put, quote, "my law," unquote, the Torah, in the minds and hearts of those who believe in him. What does he mean by "my law"? That's the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God. Collectively, they're God's instruction in righteousness for his children. But how do I know the new covenant includes the commandment against eating unclean foods such as pork? Well, glad you asked that. First, the scripture tells us in detail what will be taught in the Messianic kingdom with Yeshua ruling and reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We saw in Isaiah 2 and Micah 4 that Messiah is going to teach forth the Torah. But in Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 23 to 24, it tells us more specifically what Messiah and his disciples are going to be teaching. It says, quote, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." Here the words unclean and clean are tameh and tahor, just as they are in Leviticus chapter 11. So they're going to be teaching the people what is clean to be eaten as food and what is unclean that is not to be eaten. It goes on to say, "In controversy they shall stand as judges, and judge it according to my judgments. They shall keep my Torah and my chukot," that is my laws and my statutes, "in all my appointed meetings." Those are the appointed times of Leviticus chapter 23. The first is Passover, on which Messiah died. Then unleavened bread, on which Messiah was buried. Then the first fruits of the barley harvest, on which Messiah arose. And then the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, on which the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2 and indwelt the believers. Then there's three fall festivals. The Feast of Trumpets, which teaches the rapture and resurrection. The Day of Atonement, which teaches Messiah returning for the Battle of Armageddon. And finally, the Feast of Tabernacles, which celebrates God establishing his kingdom on earth, where Messiah will sit and rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it ends by saying, "And they shall hallow my Sabbaths," not my Sundays. It says, "And they shall hallow my Sabbaths." So during the kingdom, with Messiah on the throne, we're going to keep the Torah, we're going to keep the statutes, we're going to keep the feasts and festivals, we're going to keep the Sabbath, we're not going to eat pigs, we're not going to eat shrimps, we're not going to eat lobsters, etc. Notice it says to discern between the unclean and the clean. While that seems very clear to me, other people just can't seem to grasp the concept. But we can also read in the prophecies what will anger God when Yeshua returns at the end of the tribulation period. So when Messiah returns to establish his kingdom, Isaiah tells us what really angers God. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 4b, it says, "Who eats swine's flesh, and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels." In other words, God's going to be very angry with those that are eating pork and shrimps and lobsters and clams and all those other unclean foods. Also, more particularly in Isaiah chapter 66, it tells what God's going to do about it. It says in Isaiah 66 verses 15 to 17, quote, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword, the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many." Now it tells us who? Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst. That is those that are partaking in pagan idolatry. But it goes on to say, "Eating swine's flesh and the abomination in the mouth shall be consumed together, says the Lord." Meaning, one who's eating a ham sandwich is going to be treated by God just like an idolater and is going to be put to death. The reason eating the ham sandwich, the lobster, the shrimp, etc., is the same as pagan idolatry is because God said, "Thou shalt not eat it." And when you say, "Yeah, I don't care if God said to eat it or not," that's the same as turning your back on God and worshiping a pagan idol. You're following man-made rules that say you can eat it, where God said, "Thou shalt not eat it." So do you want to be eating swine's flesh, that is pork, when Messiah returns? I assure you, I do not. Those who do will be consumed together according to this scripture. Finally, notice how the believers are described in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 12:17, it says, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, who went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah." That is, Satan, when he's kicked out of heaven in Revelation chapter 12, is going to try to destroy every believer. And the believers are described as those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah. They observe the Torah, even though they have full faith in Messiah Yeshua. That is what we would describe today as a messianic believer. That's what we are in the messianic fellowship, are believers who have our faith in our salvation in Messiah Yeshua and his death, burial, and resurrection, but keep the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God because Yeshua said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," John 14:15. Well, that was Revelation 12:17, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah. But you can also look at Revelation 14, verse 12, which says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua." So again, it reiterates that those that have faith in Yeshua also keep the commandments of God. In both references, the saints, the believers, keep the commandments of God. But why should they? Well, again, Yeshua said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," John 14:15. Do you love Yeshua? Do you love Jesus? Do you love God? He said, "If you do, then keep my commandments." The word "keep" in Hebrew is shamar. It means to guard, to protect, to treat as valuable. And John further explains in 1 John 5, 2-3, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. In other words, it answers the question, the Lord loved me so much, He sent His only begotten Son to die for me, to save me. Now how do I show my love to God? 1 John chapter 5 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. I want to also jump over to 1 John chapter 2 and just remind ourselves that 1 John chapter 2 describes how we know for sure that we are saved, that we know Messiah, that we're in Him. Because being saved, the scripture says, I'm saved by faith. If I confess with thy mouth the Messiah Yeshua and believe in my heart that God has raised Him from the dead, I shall be saved. But how do I know whether my belief is real? Is my belief in Messiah different from a child's belief in Santa Claus? Well, 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 3, gives what's called in this scripture the test of knowing Him. And it says in verse 3 of 1 John chapter 2, now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. That's like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, when he said, imitate me just as I also imitate Messiah. Meaning, if we do what Paul does, Paul did what Messiah did, and Messiah kept the commandments. Which ones? All of them. So again, by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought also himself to walk just as He walked. Okay, going back to our discussion, our conclusion of this topic. In 1 John chapter 5, 2 and 3, when it says, for this is the love of God that we keep His commandments, His commandments are not burdensome. Please note that this is in accordance with the Great Commission of Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, which says, quote, and Yeshua came and spoke to them, saying, them being His disciples, His apostles, saying, and the word saying means what follows is a quote directly from the lips of our Lord, our risen Lord and Savior, before He ascended up to heaven. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. The word disciples does not mean convert. The word disciple means student, one who learns from the master. So go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. The word nations means Gentiles, those that are not Jews. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There's only one way to be saved, that's salvation by faith, and the baptism is an evidence of that faith. And then it says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That is from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, all that the Lord has commanded, we are to teach the nations. That means not to eat pigs, that means not to commit murder, that means not to break the Sabbath, etc. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That's Matthew 28, 18 to 20. So Messiah's great commission to the apostles was to take all the commandments, all of them, out to the nations, the Gentile world. Let us remember also the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. To Timothy said, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures." The only Holy Scriptures Timothy had by this time was the Old Testament. The New Testament had not yet been written. It doesn't come about as a book until the 4th century. He says, "Which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Messiah Yeshua." It says in verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." That is God-breathed. Every commandment in the Torah is breathed by God. "And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So Paul doesn't say, teach them some of the commandments, a few of the commandments, let them pick and choose. He says all the commandments are good for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. So how can you claim to observe all things that Yeshua has commanded us while eating a ham sandwich? The answer is you cannot. Remember, Yeshua himself taught in John 14, 23-24. It says, "Yeshua answered and said to him, 'If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me.'" So the words of Yeshua are the words of God. And the scripture says God does not change. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." So God expects us to obey him if we call ourselves his children. In Malachi 1:6, he says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts." So whether you call God father, whether you call him master, he says you're supposed to respect, honor, and obey me. These words remind me of what our Messiah Yeshua said in Luke. In Luke 6:46, he said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" Finally, hear the words of our Messiah Yeshua in Revelation 22, verses 12 to 14, which says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega," or in Hebrew, the Aleph and the Tav. He says, "I'm the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city." I'm reading from the New King James Version. I know I would like to be blessed, wouldn't you? So why don't I eat pork? I love the Lord, so I do my best to keep his commandments, not for salvation, but because I am saved. Salvation is by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast, as we learn from Ephesians 2. But I demonstrate my faith and my love by my obedience. What did Messiah say? If you love me, keep my commandments. He says, the words that you hear are not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So when we keep God's commandments, we demonstrate our love to Yeshua, our Messiah. And then, of course, 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3 was just as clear when it says, essentially, how do we demonstrate our love to God? And that is, we show God our love when we honor him by keeping his commandments. So that's why the Lord's not going to come and find me eating a ham sandwich. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.